Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no hope.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm Wee Too Deep, and it's been a while. It's been about 2 weeks since we've seen DJ Wavy D on the show. He's back and ready to go. And so we'll start there. Before we get into Let's Get Cooking, as always, go to that description box, click the first link, go get you the free Otis shirt, go get you some mommy merch. Gunther the Ring General just released a new shirt. Roman Reigns got his new shirt. Go click that link. Go use our affiliate link. We get a small portion of that purchase back to put into the show. Outside of that, let's dive on in. It's been 2 weeks, so Let's Get Cooking is going to be a little different. About 2 weeks ago, I did some baddies tier lists at the sort of request of Wavy D here, where he asked the question, Liv Morgan or Maxxine Dupri, and that went down a whole rabbit trail of him defending Liv, me defending Maxxine. And so I want Wavy D to sort of judge my tier list, what he thinks of it. What he would fix, what he would do different. And that's going to be our Let's Get Cooking today. Let's see what Wavy D thinks of my tier list.
Let's see. I tried to find it again real fast. I couldn't quite find it, but I remember because we sent them everywhere. Actually, it might be easier to find in the Junkyard group chat.
Yes, sir. While he's looking.
Did we put those in general?
Where did I put them? I thought I put them in general.
But I do know there's a few things that I remember that I was not saying not a fan of. You know what I'm saying? WWE is filled with baddies. All
right. Right.
So who am I to tell someone that their baddie ain't a baddie? But let's see. You had Ivy Nile, okay, which was a very, very controversial pick. Mm-hmm. I believe you had her in the A tier.
I did.
And you know, I know you were saying, you know, you gotta go based off of her not on screen look, okay? You know what I'm saying? Her every not on every day, but her on out of the WWE look. You know what I'm saying? We were ranking WWE baddies, okay?
Okay.
And so, in my eyes, you judge them based on a TV appearance, you know what I'm saying? Now, you might see a little bit inconsistencies with my list because I have a few women who I thought ranked a little bit higher, you know what I'm saying? And you might see them on TV every week. You're like, AD, I'm looking at them on TV. How are they this high when they got face paint on? Mm. All right. That's because you're not seeing them in the backstage segments. You only seen them in the ring, okay? Like, I know Asuka got some face paint on. Okay, you can't see her face. Guess what? That's because you ain't see her in her past, like, 7 years when all she had was a line on her face, if that. All right? She was a baddie before that. her backstage segments, baddie. But I did peep. That Wavy D, not Wavy D, sorry. That Wee Too Deep. That he ranked the blonde shorties, okay, pretty high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was ranking the blonde shorties pretty high. And both of us, we ranked on the SmackDown side of things, we ranked both Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill kind of high.
Yeah.
And then on my end, I ranked like Naomi and B-Fab kind of low. Wee Too Deep was letting himself a little bit of B-Fab. You know what I'm saying? He did rank his Asian shorties a little low. some might say criminally low. He also ranked Zoe Stark behind Shayna Baszler, which I thought was disrespectful. Okay. Highly disrespectful. So, you know what I'm saying, guys? You need to... I know beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay? Mm. You know what I'm saying? And not, you know... Let's see. Every woman is a championship to somebody, okay? whether you are the world heavyweight big gold title or you're the 24/7 title or the hardcore title, you are a championship to somebody, okay? Remember that.
Wise words from Wavy D right there. Yeah, so he's going to be the sort of casual expert on baddies. He's got the DJ Wavy D Baddie Award over at the Casual Wrestling Show on a Raw and SmackDown basis. His name gets associated with the Baddie of the Night.
As it should be.
So with that, we're going to go in. I don't know. Did you watch the show that I did Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I went in there and I talked about SmackDown needing heels. And this is something I think we all agree with. I want to expand this conversation, though, to this take. I don't believe Triple H knows how to book the dominant heel. He can book the chicken shit like Liv and Dom. He does that pretty well, but that dominant, Nerdy likes to say, like the Thanos, who could just show up there and snap his fingers and cause chaos, doesn't really do that very well. I'm not counting the Bloodline, like Roman Reigns' Bloodline. That's not true.
It was pretty established, yeah.
Right. And so, I want to know your thoughts on that. What do you think? Because here recently, with how he's booked Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, have been a little bit annoyed with this sort of like 50-50, we got to make the face look strong even in defeat. So what's your thoughts on this?
You're definitely correct when it comes to the analysis of his booking of Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. Especially with Bronson Reed, because he's been, you know, let's book him book him kind of strong every other month. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, feed him to a face or something. Right. They don't want to pull the trigger on Bronson Reed right now. I think if he was on SmackDown, it would benefit him a lot, because I feel like he could run that division with the U.S. title and just cause mayhem over there. And Loki, he might get the pass from the Bloodline because he is Samoan. You know what I'm saying? You know, he might not be from their family tree, but, you know, he is on the Wahi adjacent, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I think Triple H is definitely having a hard time booking them. And, you know, he's booking Gunther up until he won the title very well. Once he won the title, the booking kind of went down a little bit because, the World Heavyweight title, he booked him well as the IC champ. But as a World Heavyweight champion, he put him in a lose-lose situation up against Randy Orton because, you know, Randy was just, you know, kind of coming over for like a one-time little matchup from SmackDown for like the C-level pay-per-view. And so, you know, if he wins, he's supposed to win. If he loses, well, guess what? You're, a bad transitional champion.
Right.
And so he really put Gunther in the best of situations. And also include that Randy is, you know, one of the best talkers in the industry. You know what I'm saying? He might not be always the most entertaining talker, especially when he's a face. He is not usually the most entertaining talker, but he's a very believable talker. Mm-hmm. So if you're not looking forward to a Randy promo, once he gets talking, you're captivated on his words. Mm. And you do listen to his words. I did miss last night's Monday Night Raw. All I saw was a couple messages in the group chat. I didn't even get around to watching the highlights yet. because I fell asleep before this show, and that's why you're getting a little bit late. You know what I'm saying? I had to pull back the curtain for you guys, you know what I'm saying, on the world of sloppy meat. But and then when Nerdy D made the point about, you know, kind of like the different types of heels, I know you see more of a, you know, in between spectrum kind of thing, but I do agree with on the idea, the general idea that your main two heels kind of are your Thanos heel and your Jokers and your Riddlers. You know, saying, you know, you have your heels that, you know, are just kind of like a constant little like thorn in your side who cause you to have a bad day, and then you have the heels who tend to ruin your career instead of just ruining your day. You know, saying like Kevin Owens, shoot, this man's been dealing with the bloodline for 4 or 5 years right now. Like this man's he's literally going through his own bloodline saga of like his career. You know, whereas some wrestlers just, you know, deal with the bloodline for a month or two, he's dealing with it for 5 years. So that's his Thanos. And along the way, he's had people like Theory and Waller who have been, you know, a little Penguin and Riddler. You know, say if we're calling Kevin Owens Batman, you know, say he's dealt with the Riddler and the Joker, Riddler and Penguin, and then he's dealt with like Darkseid, if you want to call Roman Reigns Darkseid or something. I don't know. For y'all comic book nerds out there, you know what I'm saying? I rock with MCU, so, you know, there's a little DC reference. It was kind of hard to make. But you can definitely be a little more nuanced with heels, you know, especially if you want, like, your tweener heels, you know, the ones who are, like, you know, Kevin Owens isn't a tweener heel right now, but he does play that role really well where he's just a prize fighter with a purpose. And he'll do anything he wants and can to get to, you know, to his goal, whether it might be, you know, screwing a couple people over, you know, or attacking a few guys or letting them get attacked while he walks away, you know, saying not being an uber baby face. And some people like that, some people don't, but he's good at it. And that's kind of my stance on the, but SmackDown freaking needs heels. And Triple H isn't doing the greatest job at booking heels in general. That's the big thing. Vince always made great heels, and his baby faces sometimes took a back seat, whereas Triple H is really trying to push faces, and his heels are taking a big back seat.
Right. I had that same thought earlier today. Like, Vince was really good at pushing, like, the bad guy. Maybe because that was his character on TV. You know, he kind of... but his faces were kind of vanilla, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're all bad, but they just weren't a lot of the times entertaining. But Triple H, he can push a baby face like it's nothing. These heels, I don't know. It's really the sort of badass, like, dominant heel. Like, there's no reason Sami Zayn needed to get offense against Braun Breaker. And so, with that, we're gonna jump on into Bash at Berlin predictions, as it's that time of the month again where we have a PLE here, overseas Europe. It's gonna have an interesting 2 week period where they had All in London, and now they have a Berlin pay per view. So let's start with. Is LA Knight's open challenge like official? Like it's gonna happen?
Yeah, that's what I saw. It was on like what websites have it on their card predictions.
Okay, so let's start with that match since we don't really necessarily have like an opponent, and I hope it stays that way. I don't know about you, but it really annoys me when like they announce an open challenge, and like 2 days later on like social media, someone answers it before we even like. It that kind of bothers me because the whole point of like an open challenge, especially like remember when John Cena did it with the US title, the whole point was John Cena is going to come out to the ring unprepared and whoever wants to try to beat him can come get some. And this whole idea of like giving the champion time to prepare for you, like why would you answer it before the music plays is my question. But with that, who do you think is going to answer the open challenge? Is it someone already on the roster, or do you think maybe there's a surprise?
I'm really hoping, that it's a surprise. And I'm really hoping that they don't answer the question like on SmackDown on the go home show. Right. Do you know if they produce or record SmackDown, or are they gonna do it like the day before, like they usually do, especially with the time zone difference?
That, you know, I don't know.
But if they, you know, if they do film it live or film it like on SmackDown like the day before or something, or earlier in the day, you know.
Yeah. So typically, how they do the Europe shows is like they film it what is 8 o'clock over there, but it's like 2 o'clock here, and then it airs 8 o'clock here. So it's probably going to be pre-taped. So
from earlier in the day,
from earlier in that earlier Friday,
So assuming that they don't announce it, I can see maybe returning Shinsuke, returning AJ Styles, but if it might seem like a little bit of a, because you know AJ and LA Knight had that big feud before AJ went off to go try to fight Cody,
right?
You know, some people might look at it as a step back from him feuding with the world titles and feuding with the U.S. title, but he already has, you know, a pre-built-in history with the guy holding the title, so maybe they can revisit that. I think another way you can do it, that might be a little bit corny, but you have either Waller or Theory answer the challenge and like not tell the other one, and that can build a further crack in their relationship. Or we can go balls to the wall and we can debut a new superstar. I don't know if he's officially a free agent, but from what I heard, he is. We could bring in Ricky Starks. I don't know if I'm the hugest fan of it, because since LA Knight just won the U.S. title, I don't want to see Ricky Starks' first match on the roster be a loss on PLE. But, you know, people are saying that if any of them could take a loss on their debut and still stay cooking, it is Ricky Starks. But I'm also not against LA Knight just losing it due to overconfidence. And maybe we Ricky Starks comes in and beats him, or anyone beats him, and then we kind of dive down a character arc where, you know, LA Knight kind of has to get humbled, and he has to realize, you know, sometimes he might not be the hottest shit in the tank. You know what I'm saying?
Could it also be a way to, like, because I agree that Starks coming in and winning would be quite a surprise, quite a way to get, because you're not going to leave that event with much to talk about. I don't think anything super big is going to happen. So if Ricky Starks comes in, debuts, and wins the U.S. title, but could that also not be a way to sort of, because we know Starks and Cody are friends, could that be a way LA Knight sort of gets back at, you know, he can sort of turn heel-ish and go against Cody.
Okay.
Because Cody, he doesn't really have much line. Like, it's hard to determine where Cody's going from here outside of potentially Randy. But yeah, my pick is Ricky Starks. I think, and I'm going to go on the limb and say it has to be Ricky Starks. To answer, like I said, there's nothing you're going to talk about this show at, unless for whatever reason they decide to have one of the main champions lose, which I don't see happening, and we'll get to those predictions in a minute. You're not going to have much like press out after the show. So what's a better way to end it than to answer Ricochet debuting on AEW and having Ricky Starks come in? And even in a loss, that's still big news to talk about, because a lot of AEW fans, I've heard a lot of AEW, Tony says he's still under contract. Well, that's not what any of the dirt sheets are saying, and all the rumors are saying he's a free agent. So I don't know. I think it has to be, if Ricky Starks is truly a free agent, it has to be him. I know a lot of people are saying Dragunov or Kaiser because they're from Germany. I'm just not a big fan of sort of destroying the idea of two separate rosters. I know we're sort of doing that with Gunther and Randy, but they at least had some sort of history there as to why this match is taking place. just randomly answering the other brand's open challenge, to me, doesn't make much sense.
Especially if there's no like built-in tension between the superstar and their GM causing them to quit or want to quit or losing an I Quit match or something like that.
But I also think Dragunov and Kaiser, they're in qualifying matches for the IC title next week. So I don't know. You said you didn't watch Raw. So they've been doing triple threats to determine who's going to be in the fatal four-way match in like 2 weeks to get whoever wins that fatal four-way is the number one contender. So we have Pete Dunne and Jey Uso already who won. I think Kaiser and Dragunov win their matches next week. And so it's going to be those four. And I think, honestly, either Dragunov or Kaiser are going to win the fatal four-way to face Braun Strowman. Or Braun Breaker, excuse me. There's so many Brauns on Raw right now. To face Braun Breaker, I think it's going to be either Kaiser or Dragunov at Bad Blood. And so I don't see a reason. They're already in the IC tournament. Why would they try to go after the other mid-card title as well? So if it's not Ricky Starks, I like the idea of Shinsuke coming back. AJ, I don't know if there's any other, like free agent that they could potentially debut. I just don't really pay attention to the free agent market like that. But
Omos,
I swear if Omos answers this, I'll pop, I'll pop, but I think I might be the only one. They might get a few boos in there. But let's move on to women's tag team. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair versus what WWE calls the Unholy Union, what we call here in the casual community, Dental Control.
Yes, sir.
Coined by yours truly, Wavy D. Who's winning this match? Is Jade Bianca getting their title back, or...
I thought it's not a triple threat match.
I just believe it's just the two as of now, unless they want to change it. I believe it should be a fatal four way. So go ahead and put Damage Control and PFC in it.
For some reason, I thought Damage Control was already in it. I thought it was a triple threat match. I could be, I guess I'm wrong. I thought,
it's just the two.
Give me, if Triple H was smart, I mean, let's see. I'm thinking you give me Jade and Bianca because Unholy Union only kind of got the titles, you know, RIP Alba Fire's mom, but I think that's the only reason that they kind of won the titles in the first place because, you know, I don't think they should have lost them, or Bianca and Jade should have lost them that early into the run. And also, if Bianca and Jay lose a 1v1 match like that to these guys on PLE, especially with no shenanigans,
right?
I think it kind of sets them back and, you know, not berries, but it definitely hinders them a little bit. Major L.
Yeah. Well, and now you add in the aspect of like Blair Davenport, but you sort of even the odds with Naomi. I'm assuming both of them will be out ringside. So everything to me, if I'm reading it correctly, screams Bianca and Jade winning the titles back. Unless for some reason they find some other British woman to join a faction and debut, I just don't see them doing anything too big. I think this is just a way for them to put the titles back on Jade and Bianca and have us move forward. What I would assume into the problem with this division is it spans all three brands.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to follow. And so I really wish that they would either A, keep it to the main roster, because having the casuals follow it to NXT is confusing and never really leads to anything. But really, I wish that they would keep this division dedicated to, I would choose Raw because it's the longer show, but at least one of the shows where that division is sort of you know, the exclusive to that brand, to give something unique for you to put on each week that the other brand doesn't have. Yeah, I'm going Jade and Bianca. And if it's not Jade and Bianca, just split them up, do something, because you're really holding back Bianca right now.
Mm.
Jade, I think it would be fine in like a mid card situation right now. But Bianca, I understand you can have her win all the time. But when your main title picture right now is Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, like, Tiffany's good enough, but Bianca is levels beyond the rest of the competition there. And so it just feels like they're holding her back.
Even if you are trying to split them, we're still a little bit too far out to where you run these guys at Mania or even Royal Rumble. Even the Royal Rumble, they're still too kind of far out.
Right.
Because, like, how far can you get the split to kind of go until they come to a fight? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because Royal Rumble is what? February? First week of February?
It's February 1st. So.
Yeah. So, like, you know, if they break up to this Sunday, how do you keep them separated from fighting in an actual match until February?
Yeah. That's still 5 months. So, yeah, you got to keep them together. I would say at least till Survivor Series, because December they don't do nothing. And then you start like day one and whatever they'll call SmackDown show. But I just give them the titles, give them another like 3-4 month reign, and then have some shenanigans happen to where they split because they lose the titles again. The typical, like, we're going to split the tag team storyline that we've seen a million times. But
if I were them, I would low key run the Rey Mysterio and Eddie storyline back, where they're tag team champions together, and I think they got put against each other in some type of qualifying match for like the U.S. title or whatever. And you know, Rey won that match, and then he won some other match because Eddie was like, you know, I just want to have a friendly competition, yada yada, and then Eddie got obsessed with it. He couldn't beat Rey,
right. Well, I even like the idea of when they were champions, but Bianca was trying to enter in like Queen of the Ring or of whatever, and Bianca wanted to chase gold outside of the tag division.
Yeah.
Even where Jade's sort of real focused on defending, but Bianca's distracted by trying to go after the women's title and having that be sort of the crux that ends up. They started to run something like that on NXT with Axiom and Fraser,
yeah,
where they were focused on the speed titles, which are dumb as shit. No, just go ahead and cancel that show. I think Speed gets worse reviews than Rampage. So
it gets more views though.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But yeah, I just give Jade and B. Honestly, that if they don't win, that might ruin the whole show for me. Because I think the rest of the card goes very predictable if you understand where the story is leading. So that leads into, let's do the other tag match. Dom and Liv versus the Terror Twins?
Yeah.
Of Rhea and Damian Priest. This has to be Liv and Dom. That's the only way they can continue the story. Into Bad Blood. It has to be Dom and Liv winning this match. And it has to be, really it has to be by shenanigans. Because I imagine that like Finn gets involved, and that's how we get Finn versus Damian. But in order to continue Rhea versus Liv, Liv I feel has to get some sort of sneaky win, especially if it's going towards Hell in a Cell, which I think it is. Because you have to find a way to be like, look, we got to keep the outside people out, got to keep the Judgment Day out, so we're going to put you in a cage. And that's how I see this happening. What about you?
Now, a big part of my prediction is when I look to the rest of the Raw women's roster, who can I put in a women's title feud against Liv Morgan? So, you know, outside of Rhea, who can she face? Like, are we going to run back Zelina? Are we going to book Lyra actually competent this time? Well, I mean, they start booking her good that she got in that, started hanging out with the jobbers. But are we going to take Lyra, you know, serious again? Are we going to maybe push Sonya with the backing of the Studline? Like, what are we going to do? Because I think the smarter thing to actually do is, I know you want to kind of, you know, let Rhea get her get back, but I think the way you get to a Rhea versus Bianca situation at Mania is if both of them don't have a title.
Right. And absolutely.
So I think
100% you know, agree with that.
Unless one of them wins the title and the other one wins like Royal Rumble or something.
But I just don't necessarily see that happening. Because I still think Charlotte's winning Rumble, but I don't even know if she's ready yet. So I could see Bianca potentially winning. The problem with them winning Rumble is it just feels weird having the top two women winning Rumble. Because Rumble always feels like that, like stepping stone to advance someone's career. And I feel like Rhea and Bianca are already there. So I don't think they require a win at Rumble. But I think a fun way to get Bianca versus Rhea is if you do what I said with the women's tag division and Adam Pearce announces, hey, all the women's tag teams are coming to Raw. We've done such and such trade, and we get, it gets like announced on SmackDown or whatever. And Bianca's excited to go over there because it's, you know, she wants to get off of SmackDown, but Jade's sort of skeptical of leaving. And that's sort of how you separate the two. Maybe they break up that way. Or Jade doesn't show up to team with Bianca one night or whatever. And I don't know, you could work something out like that to where Bianca's on the brand with Rhea, and then Bianca has nothing to do, so now she's got no friends, and maybe Rhea's, you know, trying to take out some anger or whatever. So
that's really my biggest obstacle is I think we get Rhea versus Bianca at Mania, but I don't know how I get there without one of them being the champion currently or right. going into Mania season, because I'm still trying to keep the title off of Rhea. I know, you know, to come full circle, she beats Liv, gets her title back, gets her confidence and swagger back, and, you know, reclaims her throne, but
I think that could happen at, like, a SummerSlam next year, though. I think Liv needs the title.
That's what I'm saying. I think if Rhea wins the title, there's no way to take it off of Rhea before Mania.
Right.
Like, you know, in a credible way, especially the way Raw's roster is looking. I think if you have Liv go over at Bad Blood, and Liv going forward,
absolutely.
Who's Liv face though?
I would hope going into, because after Bad Blood, they'd already will start the new contracts with the TV deals. So I would hope, except for Raw will start in January. But I would imagine that you want to start the year with a bang. So after Bad Blood, it's Crown Jewel, which I don't think Liv will participate in. And then it's Survivor Series, which they could theoretically do like traditional champion versus champion, which holds off until Netflix, where you can debut someone like Roxanne Perez. So I think there's a logistical way you can do it to where Liv doesn't necessarily have to defend until the new year. I just personally, for me, if Liv loses the title, I lose all interest in her character outside of the her and Dom story. But unless that's what they're going to try to tell, is people start taking away what she has, and that maybe that makes her go psycho or something. I don't know. I feel like if she doesn't have the title, she's not as interesting.
Yeah, and the reason I ask all these questions is because it kind of, you know, depends who's going to win this tag team match. Because if Rhea, you know, gets her get back and gets over at Bloodline, or I mean at Bad Blood, then I think Liv Morgan and Dom get the win tonight. But if you move forward and Rhea doesn't win from Liv Morgan, I think Damian and Rhea win at their tag team match. If I'm thinking the more, you know, the more logical, like, storytelling route, I think you do Dom and Liv go over at Bash at Berlin, and Rhea wins her title back at Bad Blood. Yeah. So give me Liv and Dom.
Cool. We're on the same page then, because that's exactly what I think is going to happen. Speaking of blood feud, we got Drew versus Punk one on one for the first time. Finally, it's a strap match. Correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't when was the last time WWE did a strap match? First off,
the last one that I really remember was the Umaga versus John Cena one.
Right. Now, did they have to touch all four corners?
Because
I don't remember that being part of the rules. So maybe I just don't remember.
No, it definitely is. I mean, I know Cody and them did that bull rope match or whatever. Right. They've definitely done strap matches or like one or two since the Cena-Umaga match. But yeah, the thing is, yeah, touch the four corners. And they were talking about it, I think. They were talking about it on the Jim Cornette show. If they're going to do that finish that they always, or that wrestling always does, where the heel is, you know, dragging the face around and hitting all the corners, but not knowing that the baby face is right behind him, also tapping the corners. And then they kind of fight for a struggle to tap the last one. That's kind of, you know, they're alluding to that in the Jim Cornette show. I think you find it funny. But WWE hasn't really done strap matches. They might have done like a lot of bull rope or tied together matches, but I don't think WWE has really done too many strap matches lately.
Yeah, because I've never, like, I know that was the rules, but I can't recall WWE ever requiring them to touch all four sides. But to be honest, I don't remember the last time I've seen a strap match.
I remember there was one time where it was like really corny, where they had like lights in the corners. And like the lights were lighting up, it was like green for heel and red for face, I mean, or vice versa.
Right. But with that, Punk or Drew, who do you have winning here?
Give me kind of. So Punk won the last one, and you know I think CM Punk wins this, and then you kind of get the blow up match at Bad Blood. You know, whether it be like a Hell in a Cell or something. But the problem is that CM Punk is the one who introduced the strap to the match. Or was it Drew that, and then CM Punk just took it from him?
No, it was Punk. Punk said, you know, if you want to mess around with the bracelet, I'll give you something to put around your wrist or something like that, was his promo. Yeah. So Punk introduced it.
Give me Punk for the win.
I'm going Drew. I think Drew wins here. I think Drew wins because the bracelet's going to play a part of it, and Punk's going to lose focus for the bracelet, and Drew's going to beat the shit out of him, and then win the match. I think it would be fun though. I know it's not going to happen because I think if this particular person I want to show up, if he shows up, it's going to be an NXT, and that's AJ Lee. I want AJ Lee back, and there's talks about it. There's been rumors about it for the last like month or two. And she's been mentioned by name. I think it'd be fun to bring her back, in this feud, to be honest. Then we'll move towards Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes for the Universal Championship. So I guess the first question is who wins, and then secondly, is Kevin turning full heel, or is this just some teasers?
Yeah, that was another thing that I kind of struggled with, was that we're all expecting like kind of like a Kevin Owens like heel turn at some point, and you know a lot of us think it might happen like post match when he doesn't beat Cody. But if we're going down that path, then when does Cody face Randy?
Right.
I mean, because, you know, we're thinking, unless, you know, they do Cody versus Randy at Survivor Series, it would be Cody versus Kevin part two at Bad Blood if Kevin were to turn heel. But then Owens loses two times in a row because, you know, I doubt they take the title off of Cody. And so that kind of pushes back the Cody versus Randy matchup. I kind of like to see like a triple threat between them all, Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. Cody, and Randy. But I don't see WWE pulling a trigger on that. I think for prediction purposes, I go with Cody Rhodes. But I think the interesting part will be coming out of it, because like Cody is going to be booked big in some way for Bad Blood, you know, with all these teaser promos like from like 2 months ago, and they're still going on. And it's also in Atlanta, Georgia, Cody's hometown. So what are we going to do with Cody at Bad Blood that's like big enough? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think a rematch with Kevin Owens is big enough for Cody at Bad Blood with all this pressers that he's doing. So I think, you know, kind of Randy steps back in. He sees that, you know, that Kevin turned on Cody and, you know, maybe tries to talk to Cody, and but Cody kind of dismisses him. So then, like, Randy's like, oh, am I that soft now? People are dismissing me. And maybe there's some sort of triple threat match at Bad Blood. But I think Cody wins either any scenario. I think Cody wins to start the Kevin Owens turn, or even to get Randy coming after him in some form or fashion. I think Cody has the title on him. So I got Cody walking out of Bash of Berlin with the title.
Yep. Yeah, I have Cody winning. I actually think that this is going to be your most, I guess, indie-style match. This is going to be like the fans are going to love it. Everyone's going to come out of this saying this was the best match of the night. And Cody's going to win. I don't see them taking the title a month away from the show that he's literally the guy on the poster in his hometown. I just don't see them doing that. But I just don't really know the direction they go in after. I don't think Kevin turns here. I think they're going to slow turn him like they always do. My turn, I do believe it's going to be Randy, but I believe it's going to be for another reason when we get to that match. Overall, what's your thoughts on the Cody title run? Because I'm not certain that it's all that good, to be honest with you.
I think the reason it's not the greatest in the world is just because of Triple H's, you know, lack of ability lately of building heels. And, you know, all the good heels are on Raw. And so Cody kind of has little to work with. And the heels he's given are not booked in any certain way or any sort of way to where, you know, they – let alone, you know, getting the WWE Championship, let alone the World Heavyweight Championship, you know what I'm saying? So, there's no strong enough heels for Cody to like, really work with, have a great program with, and the most compelling people that he can work with are faces over there. So, and, Triple H isn't, you know, it's the first time he's exploring, like, a face versus face kind of thing with Cody. Mm-hmm. You know, give him Kevin Owens. And, you know, so it's a step in the right direction, I guess, but there's just no heels for Cody to face, you know? And you know, he's also a great chaser in the first place. You know, he's a better chaser rather than champion, and you're not doing him any favors by not giving him any great opponents.
Right. Do you think Dave Meltzer puts this on a five-star level? Is he going to throw out numbers of stars that don't exist like he did in for AEW, or is this just going to be your standard WWE match? What do you think?
I can't stand Dave Meltzer in the first place. But because, you know, this man, for y'all who don't know, he ranked the Britt Baker and Monet match higher than Toni Storm and Mariah May. He gave Ryan May and Tony Storm a 1.5-star match. And I think he gave Baker and Monet, what, 2.5 or 3 stars?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, this man is tweaking, bro. So, what? I don't know how he ranks this match, but...
I just want to know, first off, how you give Jack Perry versus Darby Allin a 5-star match. I didn't watch it. Full disclosure.
For y'all who did see my appearance on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, my extracurricular prediction was right. I said that Jack Perry was going to try to set Darby Allin on fire. In my secondary prediction, my bonus prediction, and I was correct.
That match is a 5-star, right? And so because he labels that a 5-star, there's 2 other matches that are better. He makes those automatically 6 stars. But the problem with that is, okay, Dave, you're running on a 5-star scale. How do you get 6 out of 5? That doesn't exist. So the only other option is it's out of 10, and the 6 out of 10 is mid. So I just, Dave, you got to be consistent here. Like, also, Kurt Angle has 0 5-star matches, by the way, which is insane. But yeah, this I think this will be the best match of the night. Just my prediction. It'll have that AEW flair to it. That'll get the crowd happy.
So, I've been over here doing a little bit of research. I've been looking off to the side a little bit. I've been trying to find like WWE's like last like strap match, because I definitely unless they labeled the John Cena and Umaga strap match something different, maybe like I don't know, like a 4 corners match or something like this. Because I really could have swore John Cena faced Umaga in a strap match. Did he not? Do you remember? I also have like a Mandela effect.
Google it. That was a while ago and probably before my time. Let's see. I just looked up Cena versus Umaga. There was a street fight.
Yeah. Last Man Standing match. I did find CM Punk versus Umaga in a strap match. So maybe that's what I'm like low key thinking of. But anyways, I got this from this information from where the fuck is this information I just got from? ProWrestlingFandom.com. Your boys over at NXT have had quite a few strap matches actually down in NXT, including one from September of last year.
I was going to say, I thought I saw one, but it was on NXT.
That one was between...
It was Dijak, wasn't it?
Yeah, Eddie Thorpe and Dijak. And then, do you recall, I mean, they touched the 4 corners, but you had on an episode of Monday Night Raw from 2021... So that's what, Pandemic Raw. You had Jackson Riker versus Elias in a strap match that lasted 3.5 minutes. So take that as you will.
Right.
Extreme Rules 2022. You had Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre in a strap match. That one I do kind of recall them feuding, but I forget if they touch the corners or not.
That's what I'm saying, because I don't ever remember them requiring the 4 corners. Because if I remember correctly, Dijak versus Eddie Thorpe ended in a pin.
Yeah, I mean, I do, unless there's different stipulations to it, though, but I can recall, seeing them touching the corners of the rings and, like, lights lighting up or, like, refs counting it. So maybe they called it a 4 corners match or something like that. Like, if you go back to Extreme Rules 2013, you had you had Sheamus and Mark Henry in a strap match that lasted 8 minutes. Extreme Rules 2010 had JTG versus Shad Gaspard in a strap match that lasted 6 minutes. and the Extreme Rules 2009 that had CM Punk versus Umaga in a strap match. So
I'll have to go back and watch these because I don't ever remember seeing anyone have to touch all four corners. And I know that's been the rule because I know that's what how Dusty used to have to do his matches, Dusty Rhodes and all of them. But yeah. But let's talk about our main event. This is what we're all here for. The Ring General versus Randy Orton. So before we predict this match, your opinion of Gunther over the last few weeks have sort of, you used to be on my side and now you're sort of over there with Snooze General name calling. So what's your thought process on that?
So I think a big thing of it is that, you know, given any superstar that does it, I kind of zone out because I get bored. But it's when they do the interview in the crowd in the empty arena before the show. Mm-hmm. That interview setup, I just can never get behind. I always think it's kind of boring. Like you guys aren't Mankind / Mick Foley. You guys can't do the empty arena interviews. And I feel like that's the only time we get, like, the full thoughts from Gunther on a during a rivalry or during a feud is when he does an empty arena interview. He's done three of them now during the last year.
Yeah.
And when he's in the ring, you know, he is almost like when Dominic was getting booed so heavy that he couldn't get a word in. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of Gunther's going down the same road. But, like, with Dom, I think it was kind of planned because Dom didn't really have much to say in the first place. Yeah, I think he was almost leaning on the booze. But Gunther, you know, I feel like he just can't get a word in with the booze.
Right.
And anyway, when he does, he's not – there's certain notes or certain points I feel like he can really get behind if he pushed them and he went down those paths. You know, whether it be – anti-American or I don't think he necessarily has to be like pro Aussie or whatever, or not Aussie, Austrian or whatever he is. He has to be like pro that, or he'd be pro European maybe. But I think just being anti-American or even if he pushed down the classism a little more.
Right, that's where I think they need to do. They need to do like European excellence, like superiority. Mm-hmm. So like, having some sort of like global superiority, where because the big thing with, you know, that me and James and all of them have had this debate about the different styles of wrestling and how the American style is sort of too entertaining for someone like Gunther, who's just, I'm going to step in the ring and beat your ass, the sort of British style. And I feel like if you have like that European superiority complex where like we're better than you, because that's how a lot of, you know, Europeans feel about Americans anyway, is that, oh, Americans are just a bunch of lazy fat people who were better than them. I don't know if you've ever been to Europe, but that's the vibe I got the last time I went. And so I feel like that works. You know, look at me, I'm Gunther, I'm the best in the ring. That was his gimmick early on when he signed with NXT UK. Imperium's whole thing was the mat is sacred. We don't need all of this fancy shit. We're just going to be the elite wrestlers in the ring. And they sort of went away from that. And I feel like if they went back to that, and then, honestly, Gunther should never talk ever again. Why is Kaiser not the mouthpiece? I just don't understand what Triple H's infatuation with giving a mic to Gunther is, right? And I'm a Gunther fan. I like Gunther. He shouldn't talk. He shouldn't talk at all. And it's not that he's bad. Kaiser's miles better than him. It's far more charismatic. And so, with that, does Randy stand a chance in winning this?
No. I think it would be a big shock, and I would like it if Randy won, especially because
of your prediction.
Long-term storytelling.
Which I will say, I forgot what site I was on. It may have been Reddit, but someone was saying that whole thing that it would be really beneficial for or make them happy if Randy won it and then like immediately dropped it like 2 weeks later and then won it again and went into Mania to face Cena where Randy was the champion with 16 titles and Cena already has 16. So Cena can then beat the record by beating Randy.
I want to see them both fight for a vacant title to see them get 17.
So I like that. I just don't know how you get to the whole idea of a vacant title unless, you know, maybe Cena sends somebody, but Cena's not a heel, so he's not going to send someone to attack Orton.
Unless we get like Psycho Randy again, he goes around punting everybody, and right. maybe he like punts Adam Pearce or something.
And then he gets stripped.
Like,
yeah.
Like due to your actions, you're being stripped of the title or something like that.
Well, since you mentioned Psycho Randy, that's going to transition into where I was going. I think we're going to
Psycho Sid.
RIP. I think Gunther beats Randy so bad in this match that it causes Randy to go, you know, start hearing them voices in his head again. And we're talking like 09 Randy Orton. And I think that's how we get Cody versus Orton. I would like to see Orton win. I kind of like your idea. I just don't see how logistically we can get Randy to 16 and then to drop the title and then bring them and Cena together. That whole part, if Triple H can figure it out, I'm all here for it. I can't seem to rationalize it in my head how to book that. But yeah, Gunther, there's no way they're having Gunther lose. I just can't see it happen. And I think he beats Randy so bad, that's what causes sort of the
same, yeah.
That Psycho Randy to come out, that heel turn to go against Cody. Maybe it's even he goes back to SmackDown and Cody says hello to him, and Randy sees the title and gets like upset or jealous or whatever, and snaps on him. And I think that could lead first off to like a Randy versus Kevin, because Kevin maybe comes to Cody's defense, so we can get Randy versus Kevin first, and then Randy versus Cody, maybe at a later time. I don't know. It really just depends on how they run Survivor Series, because if it's traditional champion versus champion, like it tends to be, we're gonna get Cody versus Gunther. So I don't know, but I think there's no way they have Gunther. This whole show was designed for Gunther. I don't see them sending that crowd unhappy. So any final thoughts for this PLE? Pretty vanilla card.
The only match that truly seen, or actually, even though we think they're predictable, I think there's two matches that can really go either way, and I think it's the women's tag match, mm-hmm. and then the mixed tag match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the two world titles don't go anywhere, and
Punk.
Drew. I guess Punk and Drew is actually a toss up too. So we got three matches where I can see either party winning the match, and we get somewhere down the line that makes sense in the story.
Right.
And then the LA Knight Open Challenge, it will be very interesting, depends who answers the challenge.
Right.
But it's hard to see LA Knight, you know, losing his title right after winning it.
Right.
But unless you want to tell a deeper story with LA Knight, that may be, you know, the reason you haven't won the big one is because you can't even defend like the runner up, not runner up, but yeah, the mid card title, let alone giving you a shot at the world title.
Right. All right. So we're going to move forward to, we haven't done this in a few weeks. We're moving on to Thirsty Tuesday. We are starting round 3 of the men's tournament. We're down to the final 8. We're going to vote on all eight or all four matchups tonight. So the first one we have, I really question our Discord here, because Daniel Garcia has now beat Ricochet and Finn Balor. And he's going against Trick Williams on this week's episode. So who do you got going here?
Ooh, Trick Willie versus Daniel Garcia. I got to go Trick Willie.
Yeah, Trick Willie all day. All day. We'll see what the Discord got to say. But yeah, Trick Willie. We were just speaking on Ludwig Kaiser. He's moved on, and he's taken on Logan Paul.
Ooh, Ludwig Kaiser versus Logan Paul. I don't see they both got their different types of appeal. You got Ludwig, who looks like, you know, a rip soccer player, rip European soccer player, and you got Logan Paul, who's kind of like that like varsity athlete, frat boy kind of appeal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's also still pretty jacked. I'll get the edge to Logan Paul, because I feel like Kaiser, you know what I'm saying? I think he's a male butterface, that, you know what I'm saying? I feel like he's definitely, like, outside with the Europeans. I feel like in America, he might not be like the most handsome thing, unless you like hear his accent or something. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all know me in them accents. It's Ludwig, man. It's Ludwig. Y'all know me in them accents. Nah. Our next matchup is Carmelo Hayes versus Joe Hendry.
I think Carmelo.
Oh, it's Carmelo all day. Carmelo all day. And then our final matchup of round number three is future main event of WrestleMania 45, Roman Reigns versus MJF.
Yikes. give me Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Who y'all think this is? It's Roman Reigns all day. Saluting the real tribal chief. So there's that. That's another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Any closing words as we close this out?
So during when we were up the strap match, I was doing a little bit of research here on the side. Okay. You know, so outside of me finding like the matches that they listed, I went on YouTube real fast to try to see if I could find the matches, or at least the ending to the matches.
Right.
I can confirm that Umaga versus CM Punk ended in tapping all four corners.
Okay.
Sheamus versus Mark Henry ended with tapping all four corners. I couldn't find the alleged Chad Gaspar versus JTG one. It probably just wasn't that popular on YouTube to make videos of it. I mean, it lasted 3 minutes. Eddie Thorpe and Dijak did end in pinfall. And Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross ended in pinfall. But historically, you know, it seems like WWE has done a pretty good job of doing the four corners kind of thing, especially under Vince. So seeing them bring back the four corners is good, because the strap match, I think, hasn't always been the most popular match in WWE. We haven't seen too many of them. NXT has been kind of doing them a lot. Like, they did a few takeovers.
Right.
I think NXT's had maybe like four or five strap matches since 2010 or whatever, 2013, whenever they started doing their black and gold stuff.
Right.
I think they've had like three strap matches, three or four. But, you know, let's do a little bit of research on that. What else was I going to say? There's another thing I was going to say. I got a real ending debate for you here, or not a debate, a question for you. All right. So you know, as wrestling fans, you know, say when we throw up the ones, you know, saying it's for our boy for Roman Reigns, but across the world, okay, maybe y'all can answer this in the Discord too. Across the world, if you go like this to somebody,
mm-hmm.
you go like this, are you going to take it as Roman Reigns, or are you a Sketch fan? What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, so if you see a picture of me like this, am I right. Roman Reigns, or am I, you know, what's up, brother?
Right.
So who controls the ones in the air? Roman Reigns or Sketch? Let us know in the comment section. Mm. Let us know in the Discord.
Mm. Yeah, that's a tough question.
Two global forces right there.
Right. Roman, Sketch. Let us know in the Discord. You can join that Discord by clicking the link in the description. Like, share, subscribe. Tell all your friends. If you're listening on audio, leave us a review. Tell us how you feel about the product. And until Friday, we got a good show for you. I'm going over Monday Night Raw. Let's give Wavy D some time to watch it. I'm going to go over my thoughts on it. I'm going to break down. WWE loves to put NXT PLEs the same weekend as main roster for whatever reason. So we're going to break down No Mercy that's happening this Sunday. And then we're going to discuss this independent wrestling event I went to over the weekend. Talk about some of what I saw there and why I believe that even as casual fans, we should support independent wrestling.
Question. So, would it be next show or the show after we would do our all out predictions or do you want to see if the Junkyard Boys will have us on for
all out is what the 7th. So it would have to be,
it'll have to be next week's show.
Yeah.
If we were to do a prediction episode.
That may be one of them things where you ask to go back in on Thursday, because I ain't really give two fucking about All In or All Out or whatever the fuck we're doing. I don't understand why Tony runs these events so close together. But
next week I'll give you guys my thoughts on All In. You know, why first watching.
Right. He's going on day 3 of trying to watch this thing.
Yeah. I got, but I think the link I had stopped working. I think I take it down. Now I got to find a new link.
It's on. That's unfortunate because that's how I was watching it too. but with that, we will see you all on the next episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Brother, I'm going. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke court. But it's no hope.